Well, this morning we are in part two of this series called From This Day Forward. And over the course of these 5 weeks, what we're really doing is we're beginning to lay out these five commitments that we really feel like beyond a shadow of a doubt can fail-proof our marriage. And you may be wondering, well, why are we doing a series like this? And what does this really look like for us? And I think the best way that I can explain why we're doing a series like this right now is really for one of two reasons. First, because I think if you and I were to get really honest and look at our own marriages and look at our relationships, I think what we would say really quickly is this. That none of us have this thing called marriage and none of us have this thing called a relationship with the opposite sex perfected, right? Every single one of us have room to grow and develop, and there are ways that we can do this thing better. The second reason is that we really feel like there's no better time than right now in February to begin to talk about this thing called love and a relationship with another person. And there's no better time than in the midst of 3 days from now when you forget about Valentine's Day to begin talking about how difficult this thing with a person of the opposite sex can really be. And so last week, we just sort of got off and running and we jumped right in talking about the importance of seeking God when it comes to our relationships. And we talked about for every single one of us in the room, whether we're in a marriage, whether we're in a relationship that's going somewhere and looks like it's headed towards marriage, or we're single, or we're maybe freshly divorced, or whatever that looks like for us, that there are some commitments that we can begin to make in our lives that set us up to win in our present and our future relationships. You see, what we said first was if you're sitting there and you're not married, the commitment that you make to ensure a healthy marriage one day is that you commit that right now in your life, you're going to seek the one while preparing for your two. And if you are married, what we talked about was there's this similar commitment that we make with our spouse. That as a married couple right now in our life, we make the commitment that I will seek the one with my two. When we do that, it begins to fail-proof our marriage. When we do that, it begins to set us up to win. Because what we also uncovered last week was this, is that our marriages are destined to fail when we put our spouses as the one in our lives. That somebody else has to take that number one spot if our marriages are going to work. And coming off of last week, what I quickly realized was that as we sort of jump full speed ahead in this, I gave you this one disclaimer. And those of you who are here will remember that disclaimer. And it was this, that throughout this series, there are going to be some things that we talk about that are PG-13, right? And that we have some incredible rocking children's ministry environments with some incredible small group leaders who are ready for your kids and want to lead them into what it looks like to have this relationship with a God who made them, a God who loves them, and a God who wants to be their friend forever. And so especially next week as we talk about having fun, the S word is going to come out next week. And so if you deem that not your child appropriate, we want to encourage you. Send them off to the little safari or to Velocity, and we promise you it'll be an incredible experience for them and for you in this room. But with that, what I also realized is that I missed some things last week. There were some things that I sort of left off the table that I didn't tell you that I think are vitally important as we move forward in this series. The first of those things is this. What every single one of you need to realize, it's something that I've already realized, is that as we move through this series, Ben Carver is not a marriage expert, all right? So let's just get that out on the table right now. That everything we talk about throughout this series is something that for Krista and I, we're struggling with and we're working through and we're learning right along with you guys. The second thing that I think is so incredibly foundational to this series, and I'm so excited about it, is that right now, if you crack open your weekly, what you'll find in there is this incredible resource that we're doing specifically for this series. We don't do this all the time, but we really wanted to set you guys up to win in this series because we believe with all of our heart just how important this can be for your present and for your future. And so in there, what you're going to find is this incredible resource that we put together and that we provided. It's a sheet that's folded in half, and it's got this graphic along the top. And this is a 5-day devotional for you or for you and your spouse to work through every week of this series. And here's the really cool part. What you'll notice at the top of this devotional is this one has the little icon highlighted that says Fight Fair underneath of it. And what that means is that every week throughout this series, you're getting a different one that revolves around what we're going to be talking about today specifically. Because we wanted to give you actual handles, something that you can grab onto and begin to specifically implement into your marriage. And so next week, you're going to get one that's completely different. And the one today is completely different than last week. But I wanted to make sure that I put that out there because it's too powerful and it's too cool for me not to mention for you guys this morning to take advantage of that. But this morning, as we sort of push forward, we're talking this morning about something that is commonplace for every single one of our marriages. It's something that happens in my marriage. It's something that happens in your marriage if you're married. And it's something that undoubtedly will happen in your marriage of the future if you're not yet married yet. You see, what I believe is that there are three certainties in life. We all know the first two. Death, taxes, and fights about both of them within your marriage. Right? I mean, for all of us, the reality is that disagreements and fighting happens in our marriage. And if we were to say, no, that's not the case in my marriage, then you're just straight up lying. Because the reality is, disagreements happen in every relationship with another human being on this earth. At the onset of this morning, what I want us to begin to grasp and understand is this one truth. And that truth is this, that the health of your marriage and the health of my marriage is not determined by if we fight. The health of our marriages is not determined by if we fight. The health of our marriages is actually determined by how we fight. Because healthy couples, they learn to fight fair. But unhealthy couples, they find themselves consistently taking shots below the belt, figuratively or literally. Healthy couples fight for resolution. Unhealthy couples fight to win. And what we begin to realize is that in all of our relationships, there's this turning point where when we learn how to fight fair, our marriages begin to sort of take a turn for the better. But I think for a lot of us, when we look back on our lives and maybe we look back on some of those fights that we've had, what we quickly realize is that a lot of the disagreements within our marriages can sometimes boil down to be some pretty petty stuff, right? I still think back for myself and for Krista when we first got married. And I think what I need to say here is this week, I actually gave Krista the opportunity to pick which story she wanted me to implement here. So this is Krista picked because what I understood is I didn't want to have a fight when I went home because of the story that I told. So very early in our marriage, it was in our very first apartment. And you know, we were still in that phase of marriage where we were trying to figure each other out and we were learning things about each other, and maybe we were still in that phase where we were really trying to impress each other a little bit along the way too. And with that, what ended up happening is, you know, Krista began to really cook for the first time, and so I would come home from work and we'd sit down and we'd do dinner together, the very same as what we do today. But she got this bright idea that she knew what my favorite meal was. It was mushroom meatballs. I know, sounds weird. To some of you, sounds gross. But that was my favorite meal. And so she made sure she got the recipe from my mom, and she sat down, and she got out the skillet, and she began to prepare these mushroom meatballs. And so I came home from work, and she was all excited that she had prepared my favorite meal. And we sit down to eat this meal. And I guess, men, you've probably been there before. There wasn't a whole lot that was said, but I guess I didn't eat enough of the mushroom meatballs. And when I didn't eat enough or act like I was enjoying the meatballs enough, the tears began to flow and the words began to dissipate for the rest of the night. Like, we didn't say another word to each other because I wasn't appreciating the mushroom meatballs as much as I should have been appreciating. And there was sort of this comparison game going on between my wife and my mom and all that good stuff that happens within those first couple years of marriage. And the reality to this day, what you need to know is this. We very seldom ever have mushroom meatballs anymore. But when we look back on that, and as we were sitting in bed and I was allowing Krista to sort of pick the story that was laid out, we sort of laughed and she admitted, you know, I don't even know why I was mad at you. It didn't even make any sense. You didn't say anything wrong. You didn't necessarily do anything wrong, but I started to imply things and insinuate things and it led to this disagreement. And then you didn't say anything, but I didn't even want to talk to you anymore. And there's this clashing of heads that happened and this pettiness that entered into our marriage that you have been there before, right? You laugh along with me because it's the reality for your marriage as well. That we've all experienced those moments. And we wonder in the midst of that, does this mean that my marriage isn't healthy? Does this mean that something's wrong? But what we're really wondering is this. In the midst of our relationships, Ben, if you're telling me that tension is inevitable, that fights and disagreements are just something that happen, then how do we begin to manage this well? How do we do this right from this day forward? This morning, what we're really going to dive into, and it's really going to be what the entire message is based upon, is this incredible passage in the book of James. And I just think it's so powerful because it begins to draw this line in the sand of when you begin to put these things into practice in your life, in your relationships, in your marriage, when you begin to do these things, you begin to see things change. You begin to see yourself fight fair. You begin to see these disagreements go differently than how they had gone in the past. And I think that's what we all want, right? I mean, we don't want our arguments and our disagreements and our fights to explode and to go off the deep end and to begin to cause this divide that doesn't seem to be able to be put back together again. See, we desire for those disagreements and those fights to be as small, as minimal, and as harmless as they can possibly be. And James really sets the table for this. And so this morning, we're going to dive in and we're going to look at that passage together. It's in the book of James, starting right off in chapter 1. And if you've got your weekly already cracked open, you can follow along. There's a notes page right in there that has all the scripture that we're going to be reading today and even some fill-ins that you can take home with you. You can also follow along on the screen, or if you've got your Bible with you and you prefer to do it that way, that's awesome. Crack it open to the New Testament and to James chapter 1, verse 19. And here's what it says. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Why? Because human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. See, this passage provides some incredible insight into what it looks like to begin to take our marriage from unhealthy to healthy. But the reality is, if we look close enough, what this really shows us is in the midst of our marriages, how do you and I begin to fight fair? And I think really what this reveals is this really reveals for your life and for my life, God's rules for fighting fair in the midst of our marriages. And so this morning, we're really going to break this down and we're going to look at what it looks like, what God really designed for us to understand so that we can begin to fight healthily in our marriages. So this morning, the very first thing that we need to understand is this, that when it comes to fighting fair, the first point is that men are always right. We have that one? No. Okay, that's not the one. My brother, I actually was telling him about this. He gave me that advice. You know we are all in trouble when I'm taking preaching advice from my brother, all right? But I had to slip that one in there. You see, the reality is that what we really see from this when we look at this passage of James is that in order for us to fight fair, what we really do first is we have to stop to listen carefully. We stop to listen carefully, right? That's what it says right there in that very first line. You must all be quick to listen. You must all be quick to listen. But if you're anything like me, when it comes to disagreements and arguments and fights in my marriage, you know what my initial tendency is? I want to argue. I want you to hear my opinion first. I want to be quick to speak. I want to make sure that I defend myself. I want to make sure that I come out looking squeaky clean on the other side of this. And so instead of being quick to listen, what we initially do is we're quick to speak in those moments of disagreements because we want it to be all about them hearing me instead of me hearing them. And Solomon, King Solomon, one of the wisest men to ever walk on the earth, he gives us some incredible insight into what this looks like. And I love this passage in Proverbs chapter 18. I don't know why I love it, because he's talking about me, but it's so incredible. Here's what he says. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. I don't know about you and your marriage. There are a lot of occasions where I can be classified as the fool in my marriage. We're in the midst of conversations and arguments with my wife. The reality is I don't really have a whole lot of interest in understanding her. I just want to make sure that she understands me. I want to make sure that my opinion is heard. And I'm guessing that you guys are a whole lot better when it comes to this than I am, but I want to admit something to you really, really quickly. And that is why I know that I'm just not very good at this one in any relationship, is because oftentimes in the role that I play as pastor of a church, there are oftentimes people who come to me who are in crisis of their life, who have circumstances that aren't going the way that they wanted to. They're experiencing sickness. They're experiencing death. They're experiencing things that they're not really sure how to navigate. And oftentimes they come to me for advice. And in the role that I play, what I often feel the weight of is that they want me to always tell them something profound. Like, they want me to say something that's always going to fix it for them. And so under the weight of that pressure, do you know what my initial reaction is? As people come to me and they begin to tell me their stories and tell me their problems, do you know what I do as they're telling me those things? I'm formulating my brilliant response in my head while they are talking. Anybody ever been there before? Like, I'm trying to come up with the latest, greatest thing to say that'll help them feel like, oh, I'm so glad I went and talked to Ben about that. And so instead of listening to what they're saying and empathizing with them, all I'm doing is I'm thinking about what my next response is going to be. And the truth of the matter is we all do this in the midst of our marriages, don't we? We all do this in the midst of our fights. That we're not really listening to their grievance. We're not listening to the hurt that they're going through. We're thinking of the next brilliant way to defend myself and my stance and why it really wasn't my fault that I put you into this position. And what I've learned along the way in some of the few short years that I've gotten wrong in this area over and over and over is this really quick tip. That when it comes to sort of these disagreements and these fights in your marriage, and when your spouse is talking to you about some of her hurts or his hurts or her grievances or his grievances in your marriage, one of the best tips that you can use in these moments when your spouse is coming to you telling you some of these things is this. Instead of thinking about the response that you are going to make, begin to think about how you are going to repeat back to him or her what they have just said to you. Because when we repeat something back to the person to us, what it communicates is that I'm listening to what you're saying and I'm validating the feelings that you have and the grievances that you're going through. Even though I may not agree with them, I'm validating them by listening to you and saying it back to you. And so in the midst of those moments, we make this choice that I'm not going to be the fool who's only about my opinion being heard, but I'm going to stop. And I'm going to make sure that in the midst of this disagreement, in the midst of this fight, that the way I can fight fair is that I listen to you carefully. And guys, let me talk to you for just a second. This can go a long way in getting you out of trouble. Okay? This can go a long way in getting you out of trouble if you just recognize and allow her to know that I am actually listening to you and what you're saying. And so for all of us, our first step is we stop and we listen carefully. The second thing that James really reveals to us is this. We guard our words faithfully. We guard our words faithfully, and here's how he continues. You must all be quick to listen. That was number one. And then number two, he continues on, and you must be, help me out, slow to speak, right? Emphasis on slow to speak. Because we fall back right into that same tendency. Instead of being slow to speak, we want to be quick to speak. But he's saying, wait, that's not how you fight fair. That's not how you listen well. How you fight fair, how you listen well is you guard your words faithfully. You're slow to react. You're slow to defend. You're slow to argue in these moments. And again, we come back to Solomon, right? This guy of infinite wisdom. He says this to us, all right? Some of you have heard this if you were here for my big fat mouth. We're coming back to this one again, all right? So use it, apply it. Here's what he says in Proverbs 21, verse 23. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut in the midst of the fights, in the midst of the disagreements, and you'll stay out of trouble. Now, little tip. This verse is not a good one to quote to your spouse in the midst of a fight, all right? This is a perfect verse for you to internalize and use on yourself, all right? And so in the midst of a fight, we find ourselves slow to speak. We watch our mouths, we keep them shut, and we'll get out of trouble. And to guard our words, I mean, here's a practical tip to help in these moments of conflict. I really want this message, because I think it's so relevant to all of us. I want this message to have a ton of things that you can just grab onto and use. In the midst of our disagreements, in the midst of our fights, I think for every single one of us, and this doesn't just have to be marriage, this can be any disagreement, any fight, it can be your best friend, it can be a coworker, it can be anything. In the midst of our disagreements, I believe that for us, if we're gonna guard our words and we're gonna do this fighting thing right, that for us, there are these two questions that you should process in your mind every time you're in the midst of a disagreement, and you can write these down. These are freebies if you want to. The first question that you should always ask yourself is this. In the midst of this argument, should it be said? Should it be said? And if the answer to that question is probably not, if you're over 50%, that's probably closer to a no, that it shouldn't be said, then you drop it right there and you just let it go and you don't say it. But if the answer to that question is yes, this is something that really needs to be said, then you continue on to question two. And question two is this. Should it be said now? Right? Should it be said now? Because the truth of the matter is this. Sometimes there are things that should be said, but they don't need to be said in the midst of a heated argument. They don't need to be said in the midst of a fight, because you saying that is only going to elevate the level of that fight. It's only going to make it worse. And so we guard our words by saying, you know what? It needs to be said, but right now is not the healthiest time to say this. And one of the best pieces of marital advice that I ever received was this piece of marital advice that basically said, for each of us, the best time for you to work on your marriage is in moments of non-conflict. Did you catch that? The best time for you and I to work on our marriages is in times of non-conflict. And so you're not working on your marriage in the middle of a heated argument. because it's not going to work well there. But when you step away and things are good and things seem to be going healthy, that's when you have conversations about, honey, here's what you do really well for me. Here are the things that you're really coming through on. And then here's a thing or two that would be great if you could work on that. But guess what? When you say that in the middle of an argument, it ain't going to come across real well, right? It only adds to the things that you're arguing about in the moment. And so we ask ourselves these questions. Should it be said, and should it be said now? And if you're anything like me, you're saying, Ben, I need some more to grab onto. I need something else that's going to help me, because oftentimes these arguments, they get escalated really quickly and they get out of control, and I don't know how to control it, and I don't know what to do. And I don't know what to say that's the right thing to say. And this morning, I want to help us all out with these six really quick things, these word tips that in the midst of fights in our marriages, in the midst of fights in our relationships, these are some tips that you can use to help you know how to fight fair. All right? Are we ready? All right. Number one is this. For us to fight fair in our marriages, the first word tip is this. We never call names. We never call names. Because throwing out there all of these different names and all of these different words at your spouse, it's not going to solve the issue. It's not going to help in that moment. And so at that point, we just refrain from calling names. Because that's not fighting fair. That's one of those ways, like I talked about at the beginning, that's hitting below the belt, figuratively or literally, depending upon the names that you're using. And so we refrain from calling names. We never raise our voices. We never raise our voices. Do you know that the level of volume in your voice is directly related to the blood pressure of your spouse? The level of volume of your voice is directly correlated with the blood pressure of your spouse. That the louder you get, the more upset your spouse gets. That the more you raise your voice, the quicker that argument and that fight escalates. And so we refrain from raising our voice and making this a shouting match back and forth about this, because that's not fighting fair. Thirdly, we never get historical. We never get historical. And this one is really about the scorecard game, right? Within our marriages, we've all played the scorecard game. The one of like, you did this 4 months ago, and then you did it again 2 months ago, and here's how you wronged me last week, and you did this yesterday. And we begin to bring all of this historical data into the present fight. And guess what? All of that historical stuff, it has nothing to do with the argument you're going through right now. And so leave all of the history out of it. What's history is history, and we're not going to bring that in to resolving what's going on right now, right here, in the midst of our marriages. And so we make this determination. We're never going to get historical. And then this one, it sort of sounds like an oxymoron, because I'm going to start it with never. But we never say never or always. We never say never or always. Because the truth of the matter here is this. When we use either of those two words in the midst of fighting in our marriages, we are bringing lying into our marriages. Because never and always just isn't a true statement. They're not doing that thing 24/7. They might do it an awfully lot, but they're not always doing it, or they're not never doing it. And so we don't bring those lies into our marriages. We're never going to say never, and we're never going to say always in the midst of our argument. Fifth. We never threaten divorce. We never threaten divorce. That this isn't terminology that we're willing to use within our marriages. Divorce isn't an option. In the fifth week of this series, we're going to talk about a commitment to never give up. And if we're going to commit together that we're never going to give up, then why bring the D word into our marriage? Because we made the commitment that that's not going to happen. So why throw it around in the midst of an argument? It's not leading to anything healthy. It's not fighting fair with our spouse. And so we just leave that out altogether. And the sixth and final one is the most important one. I want you guys to get this one loud and clear. For us, in the midst of our fights, we never quote your pastor during fights. You never quote your pastor. I've got enough fights going on at my house that I don't need to be in the middle of your fights, all right? And so just leave me out of it. I don't want to be there. You don't have to quote me, all right? To find resolution within the context of your marriage, Ben Carver doesn't have to be the trump card that you throw down on there, all right? And so just leave me out. For you, you can find resolution, you can find healing without bringing all of these outside sources in to defend your case and your point and your opinion. And so in all of these ways, we never do these things. We never use these words because it allows us to fight fair. It allows us to guard our words faithfully. And so those are the first two things. We listen carefully. We guard our words faithfully. And then lastly, what James reveals is that we handle our anger righteously. We handle our anger righteously. And here's what he says there to finish off that verse. That we are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. You see, sometimes when it comes to handling our anger righteously, the best advice that I can give to you and to me is sometimes you're better off to just let it go, to just let that thing go. Like, it is not worth your own personal health to keep hanging on to that thing and to keep making that little petty thing like mushroom meatballs a source of tension in your marriage over and over and over again. And ladies, let me just say this to you, all right? This isn't an excuse, but sometimes it's okay to just admit that you married an idiot, all right? We are idiots sometimes, and we don't get you, and we don't understand you sometimes, and sometimes just keep calling us an idiot isn't doing any good. You just need to let that thing go and just release it, because it's causing you more pain and more fights and more disagreements and more hardship in your marriage than what it's worth. You see, in our marriages, we have one of two choices. These are the two healthy choices in every argument and in every fight. You got to catch this. Number one, you let it go and it's not worth it. Or number two, you work it out now. If we're going to handle our anger in a righteous way, in the way that God wants us to handle it, we either let it go or we work it out now. And we find a way in this moment, right? Because that's where the scorecard game comes into play. That's why we all play the scorecard game, is because we haven't sufficiently worked through it. And so we just keep coming back to it, pointing to it. You did this. You did it again. There's where you did it. Here's the scorecard. You're ahead. You have more. And it's because we haven't handled the situation. And I think Paul, he gives us this incredible insight into handle it now. This is how you handle your anger righteously. You do it now. Here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 4. It's a verse that maybe some of us have heard before. But Paul says this to you and I. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Maybe some of us have heard it sort of paraphrased like this. Don't go to bed angry, right? That we've begun to sort of have this overarching tendency in our marriages that we just don't talk about it, that we just don't work through it. And so night after night after night, we go to bed and we just allow that to continue to grip us. And really, when we don't work through it, it just continues to grow. And so this tip of just working through it and not going to bed angry, this could be a game changer for your marriage and for my marriage. Some of us, that was worth the price of admission this morning, just to be able to hang on to that one and to know right now is the time that I need to resolve this, that I need to work through it. You see, when we get historical and we play the scorecard game and we say, well, that happened 4 weeks ago and then it happened yesterday and now you're doing it again. You want to know why we're probably doing it again? Because you didn't say anything about it 4 weeks ago. And if we would have worked through it then, maybe I would have known today that I shouldn't go back and do that. But we didn't work through it then, and so it just keeps rearing its ugly head. And going to bed angry and bottling it up, what does it say here? That kind of anger gives the devil a foothold. It cracks the door open for him to be able to slip into your marriage and my marriage. And if you have anger and animosity and you have some hatred for your spouse right now, most likely all of those feelings are a direct result of something that we didn't work through 4 weeks ago or 4 months ago or 4 years ago in the midst of our marriages. And so for us, we don't go to bed angry. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, for all of the anger that I have and all of the fights that we had and all the disagreements that we haven't worked through, Ben, I'm going to need like a week of no sleep to get through all of that, right? But what we're really saying is, from this day forward, we're tired of allowing the devil to have a foothold in our marriage. And from this day forward, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to work through it right now so that he can't tear apart what God has brought together and what God wants to keep together. And I know this whole concept of going to bed angry, it's tough for a lot of us. Because for every single one of us in this room, right, this thing called bed fighting, we get married, and it's just like a natural part. We all know how to do it well, right? And so for a lot of us, this bed fighting, it sort of manifests itself that all of us fall into one of two categories, and you can reflect and see which category you fall into. When we're angry and something happens and we're not really working through it and we go to bed angry, you find yourself, you're either the silent type, right? Like, we find ourselves in back-to-back position. That's the fighting position in bed. And as the silent type, it's like, I'm not talking, I'm not even breathing, I don't want to give him the satisfaction that I'm even alive over here. Or we find ourselves in category number two, that we're the huffer. And so every 5 minutes, we have to, and then we flop over in bed. And then when it's time for us to pee, we get out of bed and we stomp off to the bathroom. And we make sure when we come back in, we flop back into bed. Just so they know that things aren't resolved and I'm still here and you still wronged me. And then in those sort of occasions where accidentally, as the other person is falling asleep, their foot sort of slides over onto your side of the bed and it touches you. You jerk your leg back and you're like, you're not getting any toe action tonight. If you want some of that toe action, you can play with your own feet. And it just becomes natural that we do this bed fighting and we do it well with our spouses. But the reality is this is just adding to all of the hurt and all the animosity and all of the anger. And at some point, it will come back up. It will rear its ugly head if we don't resolve it and take care of it right now in this moment. And where last week comes into play is right now. Is that when we start seeking God with our spouse, we stop reacting out of the flesh and we start reacting in a godly way. Did you catch that? When you start seeking God with your spouse, we put the brakes on reacting out of the flesh. And we begin reacting in a godly way. See, this morning, here's what I think needs to be acknowledged. As we're sort of cruising into home here, there are many of you who are sitting there, many of us who have walked into this room this morning, and our level of disagreements, our level of conflict within our marriages, it's all over the place. Like, for some of us, the biggest thing that we're dealing with when it comes to conflict with our spouse right now is something along the lines of mushroom meatballs, right? But for others of us, we've walked in this room and the hurt and the conflict is so much deeper than that. That there's something going on with abuse in the midst of our marriages. Or maybe in some way, shape, or form, we've caught our spouse cheating on us. and we look at all of these things that we've talked about, and we begin to say, well, that's all well and good for the simple stuff. That's all good for mushroom meatballs. But Ben, I don't think that there can be any resolution. I don't think there's any way that this can be healed. I don't think there's any way that this can become good again. And the thing that I want us to understand this morning is this. While those things have cut deep, and while those things are going to take a lot of time to heal and work through, what I believe with all of my heart is that when we begin to take some of these small steps, when we begin to seek God, and we begin to fight fair, I believe with all of my heart that anything is possible with God. And that in the midst of whatever hurt and however deep that is cut into you, and when we begin to take those steps within our marriage, that God can bring healing and restoration to anything that we're going through. But part of healing and part of restoration and part of doing this the right way is also recognizing that if we want to fight fair, if we want to seek God from this day forward, what are some things that we just cannot do anymore? What are some things that we just have to eradicate from our fights and eradicate from our disagreements and our relationships? And this morning, I want to finish very quickly by giving you these four things that really point out to you and I that we're just not fighting fair. And these things have no place in our marriage. The first is this. We're not fighting fair when we find ourselves constantly criticizing the other person. This heart of criticism, it leads you to feeling like that other person, they never do anything right, and there's always something to nitpick in them. And guess what? Constant criticism, it always leads to constant conflict. Those two go hand in hand. If you're constantly criticizing somebody else, you're constantly going to be in conflict with that other person. And so for us, we need to find a way to release sort of this heart of criticism when it comes to our spouse. The second is contempt. This one manifests itself in the eye rolling, in the absolute disgust for the way that person chews out in public, the sarcasm that we constantly use to just nip at that other person. This is the one where we find ourselves feeling like I barely even like my partner anymore, and I can't stand some of the things that are happening. For us, this level of contempt, it needs to go in order for us to fight fair. And then third is defensiveness. This is the blame game. This is the one where in anything that happens within our marriage, any disagreement, anything that doesn't go the way we wanted to, it's always that person's fault. But 99 times out of 100, the reality is it takes two. In your fights and in your disagreements, most likely it's not just the other person's fault. And so we have to remove this level of defensiveness and blame from the equation. And lastly, we find ourselves stonewalling. And this one is basically where we just shut down, where we quit trying and we begin to say, well, this just isn't worth it. And maybe we've tried before and it didn't work. And so I'm just done with this whole thing and I'm just shutting that person out. And let me just say, if we find ourselves coming back to number four over and over and over again, that this is the point in our marriage where it's time to get some help, where it's time to bring somebody else in and allow them to speak and bring some healing into your marriage. But for us, what we're really saying is this, that all of those four things, that they have no place in our marriage. And it really boils down to what we see in Romans chapter 12, that we make this stance, that I will not be overcome by evil. I'm not going to allow those four things overcome my marriage. I'm not going to allow those things conquer my marriage. But I will conquer evil by doing good. That we flush out those last four by ushering in the first three into our marriage. That at this moment, we're going to stop to listen carefully. That at this moment, we're going to guard our words faithfully. And in this moment, for each and every one of us, we're going to make a decision that we're going to handle our anger righteously. And maybe for all of us this morning, the decision that we need to make is this. For far too many years, we found ourselves and our marriages sitting on opposite sides of the table from our spouse. And in every argument and every disagreement, we're coming at it from two totally different perspectives. And we're fighting this thing in the middle against each other. But maybe for all of us, it's time at this point in our marriages to say, I'm tired of fighting this thing from opposite sides of the table. It's time for us to get on the same side of the table and stop fighting each other and start fighting against the enemy who doesn't want this thing to work. That in this moment, doing these things and continuing to fight unfairly, it isn't worth it. It isn't how it's supposed to be. And so for us, we're not going to do that anymore. For us, we're not going to go down that road anymore. We're going to fight for our marriage, and we're going to do that by fighting fair. And we do that by stopping fighting for victory, and we start fighting for resolution and healing in the midst of our disagreements. You see, this morning, we make a commitment that we are going to fight fair for the sake of a healthy marriage from this day forward. Will you pray with me? God, this morning, in every single one of our marriages, conflict and tension is just a natural part of being in relationship with other broken people. And you know this. And yet, God, what you also know is that our marriages and the health of our marriages isn't judged by whether or not we have conflict. It's not judged by whether or not we fight. The health of our marriages is judged by how we fight. God, as individuals, as families, as a church, this morning I pray that we're willing to sort of take that step in the right direction, that from this day forward, I'm going to choose to fight fair. I'm going to choose to listen to my spouse carefully. I'm going to choose to guard my words faithfully, and I'm not going to say those things anymore, and I'm going to handle my anger righteously, and I'm either going to let it go, I'm going to work through it right now. And God, the fact of the matter is this, that when it comes to all of these difficult parts of our marriage, for myself, I can't do it right by myself. God, if I'm going to treat Krista the way that she's supposed to be treated, if I'm going to love her the way that you've called me to love her, I need you. I need your help. God, may we be willing to seek your help first, to seek you first. And when we do that, will you help us fight fair? It's in your name I pray. Amen. This morning, I want to thank you so much for being here, for having fun with us, and for worshiping with us, and then for really taking a close look at what it looks like for you and for me to begin to fight fair. I want to invite you to come back next week as we look at a good one. It's going to be a fun one for all of us, and how important it is for us to have fun in the context of our marriage. Thanks so much for being here. Have a great week.